AI is revolutionising the value chain of video creation, delivery and discovery. The Cineverse Gracenote partnership and other initiatives show how. Listen on for more.
Welcome to this week's edition of Inside the Stream. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon from InScreen Media is with me, of course. Hey, Colin, how is everything going for you?
It's great, Will. Got some glorious weather this week in California, in the Bay Area. Turning to rain again this weekend, but maybe this will see it out for the rest of the year. We have a really fascinating topic. We're going to be talking AI for the main part of our discussion today, right?
We are talking AI, and as we were getting ready for today's podcast, and we're talking here on Thursday afternoon. First of all, we just saw news that OJ died, which is news, but also that, more importantly, that we're following what's happening in AI, but haven't spent a ton of time on it on Inside the Stream. And our goal is to try to ramp up our coverage a little more, help our listeners understand where AI fits in with streaming. And to that end, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have on as a guest Ron Gutman, who's the CEO of Wurl, which just launched an AI-powered ad targeting solution. So we'll be looking forward to having Ron and probably some other interviews coming up and spending some more time with AI, right?
You bet. And it's a topic that I've been writing about a lot, Will, for at least 2 or 3 years. And boy, it's having a lot of impact. But we'll get to that in just a bit. Before we do that, I think we're going to talk about a couple of news stories, right?
Yeah, and I think you're going first on the news stories, aren't you?
I am, and I'm going to return to one of our perennial favorites, which is Sports Online. And there was an interesting announcement this week by Scripps. And Scripps has already been investing in WNBA games on its ION network, and it's really doubling down on that. It expects to continue to do WNBA on ION, live matches, live games on ION, but it is also adding NWSL, National Women's Soccer League's games, will be broadcast and is going to be covering 50 nationally broadcast games in total in the coming season. The interesting thing about this, Will, is that Scripps recently launched its ION brand It launched its ION brand on FAST services. And the ION brand on FAST will be carrying these games too. And I think this is going to be a model for live sports going forward, that they will be carried by the broadcast and by the FAST versions of channels that broadcasters have in market. I think it's the best way to get complete coverage. And as we know, there are 50 plus million homes in the US today that have no traditional pay TV bundle. They don't have a virtual MVPD, and they don't have a traditional cable package. So really, if you want to reach them with live games, you've got to go over the air or through FASTs. And so this ION deal with the National Women's Soccer League and WNBA is, I think, a template for moving forward with live sports.
I think that's absolutely right. And, you know, in some senses, the fast channel opportunity opens up for more specialty oriented sports, the same type of opportunity that cable networks did for specialty sports back in the day. And that open distribution model that the internet and fast offers is so compelling. And certainly, I think, is great news for fans of more specialty oriented sports to be able to watch what they like.
Yeah, but particularly when you think about the NCAA NBA game, basketball games, right, Will? The women's final drawing a bigger audience than the men's final. So I think women's sports in general is a really big opportunity. And, it looks like WNBA and soccer is an even better one. So I think we'll be seeing a lot more of it.
Good. Well, let's just switching topics on news items. Something that caught my eye this week is many of our listeners will probably be familiar with Dude Perfect, which is one of the largest content creators on YouTube, and they do all different types of, you know, trick shots, really elaborate types of trick shots, and other things that sort of armchair athletes fantasize about. You know, could you do this or not? Raised $100 million from a firm called Highmount Capital, and their goal is to get into new areas and expand their core programming, do lots of new things that are more bold. And these guys, I think, have been really one of the great success stories of the creator economy era. Remember, probably this goes back at least 7, 8, 9 years ago at the YouTube New Front. I met with these guys. They were doing some of their tricks and got a signed poster signed by all of them. You know, these guys were all roommates and friends together in college and started doing this stuff very low key and started taking videos of themselves doing it. And it's gotten bigger and better over the years. So the dudes raised $100 million, and I think it's just another example of how content creation is being democratized.
It sure is. I mean, these guys, I'm just looking at YouTube, Will. They got 60 million yep. subscribers to their channel on YouTube, and their latest video pulled 5 million views. This is their big stuff.
Yeah, 60 million. I think they're at least a top 5 YouTube channel, maybe even better than that. But they seem like really good guys too. So congrats to them, and be interesting to see what they do with all that dough. And I think with that, we are going to turn to our main story of the day, which is about AI and video. And we have several different angles into this, and I think you're going to get us started.
Yeah, well, so I don't know, there was an announcement this week from Cineverse and Graysnow, and I'll tell you what the announcement was, and then we can talk about how AI is involved here. So basically, Cineverse is a company that has a whole collection of eclectic mix of content. They have brands like Dove Channel, The Film Detective, Screenbox, Asian Crush. They also have a streaming service which brings all of those together, but it distributes a lot of that stuff via FAST services and other services as well. So it's a big distributor of content in the streaming TV economy. So the particular announcement was that they've done a deal with Nielsen's Graysnow. And what this does is it brings a whole bunch of metadata about the 100,000 Hollywood movies into its database. And it enriches the data about the movies which it has, of the movies and shows that it has as part of all of its services. So metadata is an important part of the economy. If you don't have good metadata, then your discovery solutions and your search solutions really don't work very well. So that at its core is what this announcement with Nielsen's Graysnow is about. It's about boosting the quality and quantity of metadata. But really, AI has its fingerprints all over this, Will. First of all, a few weeks ago, Cineverse announced that they had created an AI-powered chatbot called Ava. Now, the objective of Ava is simply to help people find better content to watch. What they want is they want people to be able to have a conversation with Ava and she will help you figure out the best thing that you should be watching right now from all of the assets that are available inside of Cineverse. And as I say, it comes from a very, very broad range of content that could be picked from here. And so AI is powering this chatbot. It's probably going to use a large language model to help Ava actually understand what you're asking and be able to translate that into searches and discoveries under the covers. But the problem with that, with a chatbot, an AI-powered chatbot like Ava, is it's worthless if the underlying data isn't a rich set of data. So that's why they've done this deal with Gracenote to pull in much more data. And it's not just data about titles and actors and what have you. It's a really rich set of data that includes less tangible things like mood and tone and even objects inside of videos. And this is the second place where we see AI having its biggest impact. I have no doubt that Gracenote is using AI to help them enhance the metadata about the movies and shows which it has in its catalog. It's really the only way to be able to process and get more detailed metadata. You can't, it just takes too long for human beings to go through all of this content and type it all in. And so we use AI because we can train it to more quickly figure out tone, mood, and identify objects and actors and scenes in the movies. So that's really what's going on here with this deal. It's both powering this AI chatbot, Ava, and AI is also augmenting the data that Ava operates on and really can't work without. And there are really solid business reasons why you need to do this. We mentioned last week, we talked a lot about the latest TiVo video trends report. Well, what TiVo found was when people come into a service, only 20% really know what they want to watch. They really have a title or a show or an actor in mind. The rest of us, the other 80% have no idea what we want to watch. And that's where Ava is targeted. It's helping those people that come in, most of us, figure out what I have that would be a perfect match for you to watch. And why does this matter? It matters because nearly half of people go into two or three apps before they settle on something to watch when they come to watch something, according to the TiVo data. The bottom line here is, if you don't capture somebody when they come into your service immediately or very quickly with something to watch, they're gone on to the next service. And so that's really what AI is being directly pointed at now for services. It's augmenting the metadata, it's creating chatbots like Ava to allow you to quickly find stuff and to have a conversation with, and you know, she'll figure out what mood you're in and what might be a good match for you. So I think this is a great example of AI is really impacting the whole discovery process, not just the front end, but enhancing the data in the back end.
Yeah, I agree, Colin. I think the vision of sitting down at the end of the day, not being sure what you want to watch, as you just said, the TiVo report found the vast majority of viewers do, you know, in other words, sit down, not sure what they want to watch. Sit down, bring up an AI-powered chatbot, you know, with a human interface, a human incarnation or interface, and engage in a discussion, an intelligent discussion, not a nonsensical discussion, but intelligent discussion with the chatbot like Ava about what he or she recommends you watch and why, maybe based on your viewing history or your mood or, you know, who you might be viewing with, your spouse, your child, etc. And then with one click or with your voice, be able to navigate your way to that programming. I think that's a pretty cool vision, I have to say. It certainly seems like a big improvement over scrolling through two or three different apps, hunting and pecking for something that looks interesting. So I'm curious to see Ava in action when it becomes live, and curious also to see what other apps may be doing with this kind of discovery or navigation.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, Will, because I wonder if people are really ready for having a conversation with their television, with an avatar on their TV about what they want to watch. But, you know, in the TiVo data, it already shows that a bunch of people are doing this. So it turns out that 70% of users that interact with voice control systems, they do so in short commands like, you know, show me movies from Tom Cruise or change the channel to KTVU or something like that. But 30% are already having more conversational approaches with these voice systems. So they, you know, they may say something like, show me something to cheer me up, and then say, remove all movies with Tom Cruise from that list, you know. So people are already, 30% of people are already using these voice control systems in a conversational mode. And that was a big surprise to me, because I don't know about you, but I generally don't do this, purely and simply because I don't think the systems can really deal with it. I know I've tried this with voice assistants like Google's voice assistant and with Alexa. I found that they don't seem to help me very much. They don't seem to do a good job in allowing me to have a conversation. So this was really a shock to me that people, 30% of people, are already trying to have these conversations with the voice control systems.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would say that there are differences between giving a voice control system a command, like play this music or find Tom Cruise movies, etc., versus actually having a conversation with a voice controlled system. I would think that, in a sense, 30% is low in terms of voice commands, but 30% seems high in terms of having conversations with a voice system. So I'm not sure what to derive from that, other than to say that I think that any interaction with a voice system is a great on-ramp or training wheels to engaging with some type of a video chatbot, AI-powered video chatbot on the TV. It feels like a very natural progression to me. And, you know, certainly plenty of people are already talking to their TVs with, or giving commands, let's say, to their TVs via their voices. So the idea that there would be an extension beyond voice to a visual experience as well, to me, seems very natural, as long as it works and as long as it doesn't feel kind of kooky and weird. I think it would work nicely.
I'll be honest with you. I think if they put this Ava on the TV screen and you're conversing with somebody on the TV screen, I have a feeling that this could be a game changer. That if they're actually able to create a real conversation about media, I think that could be a game changer. So anyway, I guess we'll have to wait and see. It's not released yet. It's only in beta. I'll see if I can get on their beta list. I know the folks over at Cineverse, so I'll give them a shout and see if I can and report back on what I found. But it's not only touching discovery, right? It's touching newsrooms. There was a piece about how it's influencing newsrooms.
Yeah, I mean, we as we were prepping for today's podcast, we were going to focus on AI. It just seemed like one news item after the next popped up about what's happening with AI as it relates to video and more personalized video. And on our hit list this week, as you just said, we saw that Pointer came out with some research that AI is being used by 70% of newsrooms now to create different types of content, social media, etc. We saw that Adobe is now working on converting text prompts to video. This is a little bit like what OpenAI is doing with Sora, but the difference is that they're actually paying creators for access to their videos to train their LLM. In addition, we saw personalized weather coming, hyperlocal weather coming from the weather company, where video clips could be updated with new captions and graphics and hyperlocal info using AI. So, you know, that was just a very quick scan of one day's news of what's happening with AI and video. And we're, as I said earlier in the podcast, we're certainly going to spend more time on this as we go forward. But I agree with you that I think AI is touching every part of the video value chain, from all the way back from, you know, the creation and production end through to the viewership and discovery end.
And I want to highlight one other area that it's really making a big difference. I think it's really helping us do things that in a much more economical way. It's not necessarily displacing jobs, but it's helping us do things in a more economical way, particularly that we couldn't do before. I spoke with a chap called Garrett Goodman, who's an executive with a company called Papercup, a while ago. Actually, it was the end of last year. And what his company is using AI to do is pretty remarkable. They are not only using it to transcribe what's going on into closed captioning with video, they are using it, Will, to create overdubs of different language versions. So what does that mean? It means that if you have an English version of, let's say, a documentary, a wildlife documentary or something like that, using Papercup, they can create a synthetic overdubbed voice in other languages that I can tell you, having listened to it, it's really indistinguishable from a human being. You really think you're listening to a human being. And it, you know, there was several languages that it can do this to. And as I say, once you get the English version, they can translate it, and a person is reading it that sounds like it's a human being. And they've trained this using native speakers. So when the overdubbed voice speaks, I mean, there are natural pauses where you'd expect them to be pauses. Really, I was having trouble telling the difference between it and a real person. So I think this is another area where it's really helping companies scale in a way that they simply couldn't afford to scale before. So now, you know, this makes it much easier for you to create dubbed versions of news and documentaries and stuff like that, where you have a narrator. And, you know, I think that's a really exciting area. And if people want to find out more about this, they should just come and check out this interview with Garrett Goodman on Papercup in my podcast, in the End Screen Noise podcast. I'll include a link, and I'll give Will a link that he can include too.
That all sounds good, Colin. And no doubt we're going to be talking plenty more about AI as we go forward. Again, reminder to our listeners, in a couple of weeks, we'll have World's CEO Ron Gutman on the podcast to discuss their what they're doing with AI. And I think at least for this week, Colin, we're going to put a pin in it on that, are we?
I think we should, Will, yeah. But I'm just about to head out to NAB for a couple of days. I have no doubt I'll be reporting back on some more AI at NAB.
For sure. Have a great trip to NAB, Colin. Safe travels. And thanks, everyone, for listening in. And we'll see you all again next week.
Inside the Stream is a production of InScreen Media and Video News, all rights reserved.